Praise God. We can have some fun sometimes, amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. Father, we just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you, Father God. We are drawing revelation knowledge from your word today. We're seeing things we've never seen. We're hearing things we've never heard. We're seeing your word in a brand new light today. We're receiving the knowledge that you want us to receive individually today. And I thank you for it, Father God. You're speaking to us personally today. And I thank you for it, Father God. We draw it in. We receive it. All that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'll show y'all a little funny. Bonnie sent us something, a little card this week. This cracked me up, this little thing. And it says, this is a guy in a car, and there's a big sign, and it says, "You are here because you didn't ask for directions." I thought that was so funny. Undoubtedly, it wasn't as funny as I thought, but it was pretty good. I guess because I've been that guy. The title of the day is Slow, Slower, Slowest. I ask you, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, when I teach, I have to rightly divide the Word of God that I put out. And you have to rightly divide the Word of God that you receive. See now, God will show you personally, by His Spirit, what He's saying to you. Because He is saying something to you today. He has a word, a personal word for you today, for your family today, for your situation today. Listen carefully. In praying and in studying, one of the things... You know, I mentioned that you have to pray and you have to study to show yourself approved. But one of the things about praying and studying is you're finding the will of God for that meeting that you're going to teach at. And it's just like we would do in our lives. You're praying and you're studying, you're seeking God to find out what He wants you to do in your life. Like in this situation, I'm praying and studying as a teacher today, as your pastor today, to find out the direction that this service should go. But I'm also praying that I would say exactly the things that you need to be said today. And that I would not say the things that don't need to be said today. That it wouldn't be me, that it would be you. That it would all be about you, and the Lord would speak to you exactly what you need to hear, because He knows right where you're at. He knows how you're struggling in certain situations, and He knows the answers that you need, and He's able to get them to you if whoever's teaching, if we'll seek Him and really put the time in and let Him speak through us and not the soulish clatter sometimes that there's there. Say that what needs to be said and the manner that it should be said so that we can receive it. Proverbs 25 and 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." And see, like as a teacher, we study, the Holy Spirit illuminates to us what is soulish and what is not soulish. See, a lot of times, as a pastor, I may see situations in the church that are not good, you know, because we got a lot of different things in the church. Church is growing, and we thank God for that. But there's situations sometimes that I may want to say something to, I may want to speak to. And I have to really listen to the Spirit of God, because if I speak to those things at the wrong time, or if I speak to those things in the wrong way, and you know, a lot of times, we want to correct, we want to critique, and the Holy Spirit saying, "Hush, don't say it. Wait, let me do it. I'm doing a work. Let me do the work that I'm doing." And so many times we put in our two cents and disturb the work of the Holy Spirit that He's doing. And so the prayer and study time is as much as being silent and not saying what we shouldn't say. There's some correction that maybe we want to give to people, and the Holy Spirit says, "No, I'm never going to let you do that." Excuse me? Never. Never. Have you ever noticed there's some people in the body of Christ that think that that's their job? It is to correct everybody else in the body of Christ. Everybody else in the body of Christ. But that's no one person's job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And none of us is the Holy Spirit Junior. We want to speak words that are anointed by His Spirit to bring change to situations. And we can't correct things that the Holy Spirit hasn't told us it's the right season or the right time to correct. We can't force people to change. There are people in your life and in my life, and we look at our situation sometimes and we say, I'm going to make this change happen. I'm going to force this change. No, you're not. You're going to make yourself miserable. And you can't change you. How are you going to change somebody else? You don't have the ability to change you. It takes a work of the Holy Spirit in us to do it. It takes revelation knowledge for us. We just mess things up more sometimes. I've heard a lot of soulish sermons that try to force people to change. And I've seen a lot of family situations where people have said too much. And the Spirit was saying, let me work, let me move. Don't say anything. Zechariah 4 and 6, I know Patty brought it out already this morning. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord by Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, I got a question. How many of you married couples, how many of you have ever tried to nag your spouse? Okay. And the others that didn't have their hands raised up, we know they've nagged their spouse. And if y'all ever noticed your spouse doesn't respond to nagging, actually it makes it worse. Why? Because it's a fleshly work. It causes strife and division. Well, honey, you should pray more. Honey, you should read more. Honey, you should be more spiritual. And the Holy Spirit's saying, honey, you need to hush. You need to stop all that nagging. Holy Spirit saying, you're hindering my work. Holy Spirit saying, now pray for your spouse. Stop telling everyone else about your spouse's faults. Stop being used by the devil against your spouse. Pray and be shown and be led what to speak and what not to speak. When to speak and when not to speak. James 1 and 19 in New Living says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Most of the time, we're quick to get angry. We're quick to speak and slow to hear. We're the opposite of that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay, I want you to say this. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. I declare my soul is made up of my mind, my will, and my emotions. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. See, now we personally have to discern or divide God's word, what He's showing us in our life, what He's telling us. His will, His direction, His timing. We have to divide spirit from soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, over decisions and choices that we would make, over jobs that we would take, over moving or not moving, over having children or having more children or not having children, over things in our lives that are important to us. Every little detail of our lives is important to God. But we have to submit these things to determine, is this a soulish choice I'm fixing to make? This just because of my mind, my will, and my emotions? Or is this a Spirit-led decision? And we've got to take our personal preferences out of the way. Let's say you're planning a vacation. That's a godly thing. Pray about it. Pray about when you go and where you go. Involve God in it, and it'll work out better. A few weeks ago, we were talking to this young lady. She's a minister. She's going to speak for us, and she is going to speak for us. And we were trying to get the date squared away. We thought she was going to speak either March the 3rd of this year, on March the 10th. This is a few months ago. And we kept praying about it and praying about it. And we were talking to her, and she kept having a problem on the 3rd. And then she had another problem on the 10th and about her transportation. And then me and Pastor Sharon said, well, we will just advance you the money. You can get your transportation fixed with an advance of the money that we'll pay you for your honorarium. And so we were going to do it that way, and it just didn't work out, and it just seemed like it was just blocked at every turn. And she said, well, I'm just going to go ahead, and we're going to set this date, and I'm just going to pay my own way. I'm going to pay to fly here and, you know, whatever, and pay my own expenses. And me and Pastor Sharon, we had no peace about that. One thing, I don't want anybody to have to pay their way to come here to speak to us. Not going to have it. If we don't have enough, you know, to bless them the way we want to bless them, we're going to bring them at another time that we can bless them, right. But so we told her, we said, we don't have a peace about that. And then we come to find out that she's going to be in this area later in the summer. And she's going to be like right here at us. And we're like, that seems like that would be a better time. We were being blocked. You understand? The only reason we knew we were being blocked, see, a lot of times we override those blockages by just, I'll go ahead and I'll use plan B. But sometimes it's not about plan B. It's about involving God and finding out His time and His purpose. See, because if we miss the timing, we miss the will. You don't feel a peace about it, don't do it right then. We just felt like we should pray more about it. James 4 and 13 through 15, and King James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, verse number 14, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, the title of this message is Slow, Slower, and Slowest. Sometimes we go too fast. We get ahead of God. So if we're ahead of God, we're ahead of His provision. So if we're ahead of His provision, we're ahead of His divine connections that He's got in store in certain places for us. So instead of praying, we take action. Thank you. I'll let that marinate for a minute. Sometimes instead of praying, we take action. But it's not God's perfect will, which causes us problems later on. Financial problems and people problems and all kind of problems. It opens the door to them. God can save us money and take good care of us, but sometimes we have to humble ourselves and wait on His provision, on His direction, on His timing. Slow, slower, slowest. Not ahead and not behind, but right on time. We make plans, but sometimes we don't consult with God. Hang on, that was good. I heard that one marinating. Sometimes we make plans, but sometimes we don't consult with God about those plans. So we got to pray about decisions and divide soul from spirit. And the Holy Spirit will show us. We just need to ask, to seek, to knock. And sometimes we need to wait. Now, I'm not one of those that, you know, I like to preach sermons that says you need to wait. Matter of fact, I would prefer this sermon to say, do it right now. Do it yesterday. It's time. It's past time. But sometimes there are situations where we need to wait. And it's for our own good. You could quit a job because of all the problems and difficulties and divisions you're having on the job. But what if God was saying, stay? I'm doing a work that you can't see with your natural eyes. Stay and you will see my glory. But if we quit because we let our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions rule us, we will miss what God was going to do. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, this popped in my spirit when I was, hadn't thought about this in many years. There was this man and he was going to quit. I knew his wife. I used to work with his wife. And he was fixing to retire from his job. And him and his wife started praying about retirement. That he's ready to retire. He's past age to retire. He's going to retire. And he's praying about it, and he wants to. And the Spirit of God said, wait. Just wait. He was like, wait. Well, I got to wait. So he waited. He waited about 2 months. His job decided that everybody that was retirement age, they were going to do a buyout. Instead of turning in his paperwork, he waited just like the Lord said. They did a buyout on this guy. They gave him 2 years of salary to retire, which he was going to retire anyway. They gave him 2 years of salary up front, and he got his retirement. And you say, well, I just don't see how that happened. That's right, because a natural man can't receive it. But because him and his wife were praying and were sensitive to the timing. See, if you're sensitive to the timing, you say, well, that might not be my situation. It might not. See, you have the responsibility to determine what's the Spirit saying to you today. All I can tell you is He's saying something to you today. He has a word for you today in this message. He's given things, different things to different people all over the place. Because He's good about it. If we ask, He'll tell us. There was a minister. He was going to have surgery to have his tonsils removed. And on the very day he was going to have it done, he and his family were reading a daily devotional that morning. In the scripture passage, in 2 Chronicles 16, 12 and 13, it tells of King Asa, who got a disease in his feet. Instead of seeking the Lord, he sought physicians and he died. The minister said he was struck by this. He realized he had not even prayed about his tonsils. So he and his family prayed about his tonsils. They felt like the Lord told them not to have the surgery. He didn't, and the Lord healed him, and he never had another problem with them ever. Now, the Bible doesn't imply that King Asa died because he put the physicians first. However, it does imply he should have put the Lord first. We should train ourselves to put the Lord first. We believe in physicians. Well, we believe in physicians that are anointed by God in the right time and the right thing, doing what, you know, plenty of people in here are just coming out of surgery, just coming out of different, you know, procedures and stuff. And God had you the whole time. He was doing the work in you, in your body. He's doing the healing work in your body now. You were led by God to go to that place, to go to that physician. You might have been led to change physicians. Romans 8, 14. And who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. Isaiah 28 and 16. He that believeth shall not make haste. I never had noticed this one before. He that believeth shall not make haste. Let me say it a different way. Faith doesn't get in a hurry. We get in a hurry. The devil will try to push you. He'll say, hurry up, hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry up. You got to do it now. Hurry. So many times I have allowed the enemy to defeat me by getting under pressure, by letting the enemy get me in a hurry. Then I got ahead of God and I got out of His will. I've been ahead of God too many times. Now as a pastor, if I feel someone is pushing me, I slow down. Sometimes people will tell me, good-natured people, tell me things that we do need. I know we need. I agree with them that we need. But sometimes it ain't the time for it. You understand what I'm saying? It would be the time if you had the right person. It would be the time if you had the right provision at that moment. But it's not the time to go into debt for it. It's not the time to put it on the credit card. It's not the time to push it ahead until you got the right person in place to do it. And I've learned the very ones that'll push me and prod me and keep pushing me and keep prodding me, I'll eventually be standing there by myself when I make that decision, because they will have walked off and left me. And I have learned that the hard way. But I tell you now, I'm slow, I'm slower, I'm slowest. That's my three speeds. Because I know I don't need to get ahead of God. I slow down and I let God make the way. Not ahead and not behind, but right on time. I know another man who worked at a job for years and years and years. Then he had an opportunity for a better paying job. So he quit and he took it. In a short while, he was in a mess. The Lord didn't lead him to do it. He hated his new job after that. But he didn't cover it in prayer. You get ahead of God by being too quick and not covering things in prayer. Some people wouldn't think twice about moving their family halfway across the country for a better job offer. A lot of people wouldn't even pray about it at all. A lot of people leave churches and don't think twice. How is that? Don't they realize there could be danger ahead? God will lead us, or our soul will lead us. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Maybe you are offered a job making three times what you're making now, and it might be God. But you better pray it out. You better discern. You better rightly divide the Word of God to you, that specific Word to you. Just because it's a promotion doesn't mean it's God. Just because it's paying you three times as much money doesn't mean it's God. You've got to know that you know that you know that God's leading you. Your soul says, it's three times as much money. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to take it in a hurry. Your spirit says, wait on God. Seek God. Pray. Involve the Lord. Don't just make a soulish decision based on how it looks and how it feels and how it seems. In seeking His will, we're actually saying, Lord, don't let this be a soulish decision. Just based on how it looks and feels and seems. Help me, Lord. Help me get me out of the way. Show me Your will. Show me Your timing. Faith's not in a hurry. So I'll slow down and I'll seek You and I'll listen for Your direction. Proverbs 3:6. Seek His new living. Seek His will in all that you do. And He'll show you which path to take. In order to be led by God, we have to ask God and seek His will in all that we do. Remember the three speeds. Slow, slower, slowest. You say, well, sometimes He doesn't lead like that. That's correct. Sometimes it's much faster. But, you know, for the most part, it's better to be slower and be behind Him than too fast than be in front of Him. You understand? And there are some things that we quit that God didn't release us from. Let me say that one again. There's some things that we quit that God didn't release us from. There's some things that we do that God didn't lead us to do. Psalms 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And Hebrews 4:12, scripture we brought up before. Because God's Word is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the point that it separates the soul from the spirit and the joints from the marrow. I ask y'all to stand.